But I think bevacizumab is something that you could also consider if this guy's CD30 positive.
Yeah, his 30 was negative.
What do we know about the incidence of CD30 positivity?
It's about 30%.
Yeah, there was just something.
It was in Lugano.
Lugano. And I think ASCO had a poster that was similar.
But now isn't there a question, does it matter?
There's a question of whether it really matters or not. That's something that's not known and being potentially tested, that people don't necessarily have to be CD30 positive.
Or at least that we can detect. In other words, you know, by flow or immunohistochemistry, there might be kind of subcellular levels of CD30.
That can't be detected by standard methods.
And specifically, the patients might respond to bevacizumab or do respond to bevacizumab?
So there's some diffuse large cell data that they don't necessarily have to be CD30 positive to respond.
And there was a CTCL trial that looks like even in patients who had low levels or no levels of CD30 positivity, that they still responded in that situation.
That's sort of analogous.
I was going to say it's sort of analogous to the older data from MD Anderson with denilukin diftatox, where it didn't matter if you were CD25 positive or not, you know, for the IL-2 receptor, you could respond. Yeah. So interesting.
So there are ongoing studies in all those patient populations that were just discussed with brentuximab vedotin,
including CD30 quote negative.
I think that's under discussion. I don't know if that's actively up and running, but
I think there's
they're definitely looking at low expressors, low meaning like less than 1 to 5%.
But so for the diffuse large cell study, they don't have to be CD30 positive. So